On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock,
Google's testing a new SERPs feature that you might more like.
Microsoft advertising had the audacity to make major keyword matching changes with very little heads up for advertisers.
The clock might be tick-tacking on Google as another search ad option is allegedly coming to the mix.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernhout,
aka Shep.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on March 17th, 2023. Hello, everybody. You heard that correctly. It is now St. Patrick's Day.
Woo.
And in my house, we are still watching Miss Rachel's Christmas special.
Get out of here. In your house, you are watching nothing but NCAA basketball.
Well, but we're also watching Miss Rachel's Christmas special. Actually, they get in arguments about it.
They? Your child and your husband?
Yeah. He goes to pick up first we argue about whether it's called the remote or the clicker. He goes to pick it up and she's like, Miss Rachel. He's like, no, Dad wants to watch basketball. And then I have to pick a side. Do you know how hard that is?
I mean, I know what side to pick. You also have like an opinion.
If she would bury up her Miss Rachel taste and not watch a Santa one every time, I might take her side.
Wow, you take the basketball side?
Yeah.
Real sports.
Wow, sporty girly.
It's less screen time for her because she's not looking at it. What's new with you, Greg?
Well, I just have 2 8-year-olds and they say, I love them to death, but they are just really gross and they just come up with the weirdest things. And it's not even like, I'm like, what planet am I on that you can say these things? The other day I'm cleaning up after we tried to make raviolis and they said, daddy, please come in here. We're having a dead fish competition and we need you to be the judge. What? First off, I get it if it's a fish, but a dead fish? Like, isn't that just a silent competition? Like, what is a dead fish competition?
Who's the deadest of these fish?
Yeah. And then so the next day, they go to me and they're like, can you name all of your – the math doesn't even work. Just really, can you name all of your 5 cheeks? So I said, I think I got four. One on my right side of my face, one on the left side of my face. You guys probably shouldn't talk about this, but there's a couple of butt cheeks.
Cool.
But I don't know what the fifth one is. And I go, if you think about it, your brain kind of looks like a butt. I'm like, you know what?
So would that be six?
Right. I'm telling you, the math doesn't work. But you've got the right side of your brain and the left side. So at least there's five. They're technically correct. There's 5 of them, but there's also 6.
That really makes you think.
Yeah. Doesn't it? Think. It makes you think hard with those cheeks of yours, your brain cheeks.
I just need to know more. Can we go back to the fish? What was the competition? What were you judging? Were they the fish?
I didn't go in there. Oh, everything else around cleaning up. They did a dead fish competition. So who knows? Oh, but that's my life.
That's glorious.
And I love that.
Absolutely glorious.
That's amazing. Well, now that we have both parts of your brain cheeks working, we want to let you guys know that today's show is brought to you by Call Tracking Metrics. Imagine if you could dive deeper into what motivates your customers to buy. Why now? Why this ad? Well, Call Tracking Metrics conversion analytics platform analyzes call recordings, transcriptions, and words spoken on calls to uncover otherwise overlooked insights about your customers' preferences and behaviors. And as marketers, we can use this conversion data to gain an edge over competitors, personalize the user experience, and build campaigns using true first-party data.
And one of the real powerful things with call tracking metrics is you have one source. You know, some ad platforms can do some call tracking, but you're limited to that platform. This can take all the different places that you have those keywords, you have those terms, and put it into one spot for your ease of use and access.
Stop guessing and start making confident data-backed decisions, visit calltrackingmetrics.com to learn more and get your free demo. Thank you, Call Tracking Metrics.
All right, and starting off in the main news this week, there was a post I saw on LinkedIn over by Miles McNair. A great LinkedIn follow, by the way. I saw when we put out that top 50 list, somebody's like, why isn't Miles McNair on this? And I'm like, I don't follow him. He should have been on the list. This guy is great on LinkedIn. He's the only biggest downside. Got to go on LinkedIn to find him. But Miles has a post that says, breaking, TikTok will launch search ads soon, and it's a big deal. And Miles talks about why he thinks it's a big opportunity for Google Ads specialists specifically, and has a bunch of good points. One of those is how many people actually in Gen Zers use TikTok as a search engine, how a lot of people are looking to diversify out of Google Ads, and that really a lot of the traditional social buyers aren't as inclined in that kind of PPC search keyword area. So I think it was is really interesting. It's still a closed beta, and he says the rumors are general access is going to be given soon. So he's got a six-step solution if you are looking to go that direction. But again, heard it here first, I guess, or heard it from Miles first about the fact that search ads are coming to TikTok, and he is requesting access for one client, and will be sharing that information as soon as he has it. So if you want more, it's Miles McNair on LinkedIn. Thanks, Miles.
From Mr. Glenn Gabe, he tweeted from @GlennGabe. Well, look what test I'm in. It's the more like this test for each search listing. Very cool. We'll keep this test window open. Happy face. And I can't believe there weren't any follow-up tweets from this, but I'm sure we'll get more details. He shared a screenshot of the search results. So it's got, the query is site names troubleshoot, and then G Squared Interactive shows up with the search, the regular like SERP listing here. And it's got a little sparkle next to it, which is my favorite emoji. So I'm really excited about the use of that. And then underneath it is a more like this. And I couldn't tell if it's because you had to click on the sparkle or if it just notes that that's what the more like this is about. But it looks like a carousel underneath and basically has a bunch of different results that are similar, I guess, in Google's eyes. So it's got introducing site names on Google search. Why is my page missing from Google search? A whole bunch of different things. I know how you feel about screenshots.
So. Oh, no. The funny thing about this is Glenn's blog, gsqi.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you hit that, the more like this, did you see like if there's a pattern?
Well, it's all Google.
All Google.
Oh, wow.
Which weird. I have thoughts on that. I feel like if we're talking about troubleshooting something in Google search, I like going straight to the source. I like that they're surfacing Google. However, is it just sneaky because it's a test and they're only showing their own results? It's not technically a competitor, so the test will be more well-received. I feel like they always like to say that, like early testing, you know, people were happy, whatever. They just like to fluff things up. I don't know. It seems sketchy. It's only one screenshot, but the first three results, everything we can see is all Google. I did pick up on that. What do you think? Do you think that was intentional?
I mean, if there's one thing Google likes, it's keeping the traffic on their own, yeah. You know, owned and operated sites. So is it on purpose? No, probably not. Glenn probably just has a big, you know, kind of correlation with, you know, Google updates and things like that and Google related content.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the case, but it would be nice if it were more like a Discover, right. You know, where you can get similar themed information. And I'm assuming that's the case.
There's no variety here. And there's supposed to be about variety none. In the SERPs. Like that's their whole thing. And then here's three listings from Google, but I guess they're vertically aligned or horizontally aligned instead of vertically. I don't know. I'm sure they have a reason, but it's kind of silly. In theory, I like the idea though, if you're trying to research something and they're surfacing more info, but again, yeah. Multiple sources would be nice depending on what you're searching.
It's just like of all the one of the first things like subjects to test this on, and it's going to be site names for Google. Like, yeah, it's a little suspicious.
Remains to be seen, but he's keeping the window open and I'm sure he'll share more examples. I hope he does.
So. I would also say looking at this further, there's better information out there than what they showed. Wouldn't you also, if this is the case, just like show the second result? I'm assuming the query is site names troubleshoot. And then the blog post about troubleshooting if your site name isn't showing up. So then one of the responses, why is my page missing from Google search, which is nothing to do with the site name not showing up. So
it's their way of just pulling in whatever they want, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you're really trying to, you know, have them more like this, wouldn't you just show the results underneath?
That is more like this already. We don't even need this.
I know.
That's a good point. What's underneath this? Nothing? Something completely or different?
Maybe it's something not totally ranking. Else? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe make it rank then. I don't know.
Google. Interesting. Next up here, we have some advertising news from Nicole Farley for Search Engine Land. This article says that starting on March 15th, so this article for context was posted on March 15th, the year of our Lord 2023, Microsoft Advertising will be changing the way broad match modifier keywords are served for search ads. So it says, what's happening? Currently, broad match modified keywords serve as phrase match, but they will now begin to serve as broad match. This change will be rolled out gradually, and Microsoft Advertising expects to maintain stable performance. So both Google and Microsoft phased out broad match modifier a couple years ago now, and it's been serving as phrase. And now if you have those legacy broad match modifier keywords in your account with the plus sign, they're going to be broad. And we were given no heads up.
But in Google, they still act as phrase match.
Yes.
So if you have,
are you being team Google right now?
No, I'm just saying you gotta be prepared.
Yeah.
This because
they're not gonna be the same.
It's not the same. You cannot take something, export from Google that's working well, and if you've got these old legacy terms in there and import, or if you have those, they're gonna act wildly different.
And we audit accounts all the time that still have broad match modified running.
Yes.
In the account. And people, I don't know if they don't know that it's phased out or they just don't take the time to update it and they're fine with it running as phrase match. But like, I'm sorry. This is really disgusting to me. You're just going to make this change. First of all, I just checked the Microsoft Advertising blog. There's no update since March 13th. They did not give an announcement on this. There's no link to a source in the article besides like what is broad match for Microsoft Advertising. They just told Search Engine Land to announce this, it seems like.
Wow.
They gave nobody any heads up. Like, I have Microsoft Advertising accounts running for multiple clients. We don't have BMM in there, but maybe I should have gotten an email. We should all be getting emails. Like, you're just going to change the match type. And the match type, the matching in Microsoft is so egregious. And you're just going to change everyone's keywords to a broad match? You can't use broad match in Microsoft. You can't.
You cannot.
I cannot believe the way this rollout was just announced. Just, oh, by the way, ICYMI. Starting today, starting right now, you have broad match in your account and you had no idea. I'm sick to my stomach. Okay, Benny says, updating your accounts. There is no need for advertisers to take any action at this point.
Disagree.
Microsoft Advertising recommends that advertisers monitor their performance for at least 2 weeks before making any adjustments.
No.
They're going to make so much money in those 2 weeks.
So
much money.
You cannot use broad match in Microsoft. I test it all the time. I'm like, oh, maybe now things are changing. I was wrong about Google. You cannot use it. Don't do this.
You barely use keywords anymore.
Change the match type. Then they have like a little graphic in here. If needed but not recommended, switching BMM to phrase. I'm recommending it. This is so upsetting to me that nobody was notified besides a search engine article, as far as I know. Again.
Search Engine Land.
Search Engine Land, sorry. Maybe if you have it in your account, you got an email. I did not get an email, and I would have liked one. Thank you. I'm upset. Thank you for listening.
I was upset, but you just somehow made, like, everything I was thinking, you just very eloquently put out there.
Oh, I'm glad you think that was eloquent. This is gross.
There is going to be a lot of people whose performance is going to drop starting on the 15th.
And they have no idea why. They'll be monitoring it closely, I'm sure.
They'll be looking at change history. What happened? They'll be going to the Microsoft blog. What happened?
Nothing.
Good luck.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from the one and only Adam DeFrisco at DI_FriscoSEO on Twitter. 2022 bracket winner. for the American Idol bracket. That, it's too late.
Oh, 2022.
He won 2022.
Okay.
He won.
Okay.
Yeah. That's just, I'm adding to his credentials here.
But is he the one you said already won the naming for 2023?
Oh, he already won the naming, yeah.
That's not fair.
He was marketing O'Clock.
Okay, well, I have one night, and by Friday, everyone's going to know what my name is, and it's going to blow you away.
I have Performance Brax is my name.
Last year, I did At-Large Bid Strategy. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. You didn't. How would you even know what that is?
It's At-Large? On all the time. You're the one who said it.
Adam says, every time I come across at Google Small Biz, I think, why am I not following them? And then I see tweets like, donut worry, be happy, get a local donut, and everything will be better. Donut sparkle, exclamation.
Jess's favorite emoji.
Not anymore.
And then the first comment is like, my business is suspended, help. And they're just like, slay, bestie. And I remember why I don't follow.
It is the worst account in the history of accounts across any platform.
The worst.
Get a local donut?
I have notifications on. Every time they tweet, I get a notification on my phone and I get angry about it.
Can you super follow them?
No. No, you can't. But it is the wildest waste of resources.
Local donut. Local donut. Like, sorry, Duncan?
Oh, and it was everything will be badder, not better.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Cease and desist on the puns. Start helping businesses. And don't use a sparkle emoji because that's mine. I'm going to go eat a local donut and nothing is going to change.
The local donut shops don't want this.
They want to be able to change their phone number and have it stick is what they want. You can't even find a local donut because you're calling the wrong people. This is the stupidest thing.
Slay, bestie.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI, people. We have an update from Sophie Logan at Marketing Soph on Twitter. She tweeted this week, so Microsoft Ads will only allow you to exclude 10,000 websites via the account-wide website exclusion list. Or if you're running audience ads and want to restrict your search campaigns from showing the audience on the audience network, you can only exclude 2,500 at the campaign level, which is just really annoying that you can't opt out of these audience ads in general, because that would be nice. And yeah. Now I'm mad at them again. Thank you, Sophie.
Wait, I just got another text. We definitely lost Microsoft sponsorship.
Now it's time for this week's pew, pew. Lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
Before we get into the lightning round here, we want to tell you something else that we love about Call Tracking Metrics, aka CTM. It's really a complement to your everyday marketing tools and digital strategies. They realize that most marketers typically have a tech stack that works for them, and they don't want to disrupt that. So instead, they give you the flexibility to optimize and automate through a full suite of powerful no-code integrations like Google Ads and Analytics, HubSpot, and Salesforce. They're also building out new integrations all the time, and users have access to thousands more apps through third-party tools like Zapier to automate the process. So this is really for everyone, B2B people. It's going to hook into your CRM, and that is why it's so valuable. Right, Greg?
Yep. If you are into performance, let me tell you what, you're into call tracking metrics, because just like you need to make sure those web leads are tracking properly, you can sync HubSpot, sync those lifecycle stages to phone calls, to ad platforms. It all works harmoniously. Marketo, Salesforce, HubSpot, more than just a lead, you can see what's marketing qualified, sales qualified, opportunities, where they came from, so you can go get more. You cannot afford not to use call tracking metrics. I said it.
And don't take Greg's word for it. If you want to see how amazingly call tracking metrics integrates with the tools you're already using, book a personalized demo over on calltrackingmetrics.com.
That's calltrackingmetrics.com.
First up here in the paid news from Charles Farina, he posted on LinkedIn about, I think this is an email, and it says, important, consistent conversion window setting for imported Google Analytics for conversions. And it says in part, on March 31st, 2023, we will automatically update your conversion window setting in Google Ads to match the conversion window setting in GA4. You can opt out of this change by contacting Google support with your Google Ads Manager account customer ID and GA4 property ID. After March 31st, 2023, conversion window setting changes can be made in the GA4 user interface. So Charles points out that GA4 lets you select a 30, 60, or 90-day conversion window, and Google Ads used to give you the flexibility to change that, so it could be from 1 to 90 days. So this is, it's like nice that it's going to be consistent and maybe like less confusing for people when they're looking at their data, but other people might have things set up in a really specific way for a reason, and it could be a problem for them. So if you want to opt out of this, you should definitely do that now. Glenn Gabe is making an appearance in the paid section here. He brought us news this week that Microsoft Advertising is launching doctor and clinic ads in beta. So these are going to show in a spot on the right-hand rail of the Bing SERP, running alongside mainline text ads. And if you're watching on YouTube, we will have an image of how these are going to show up. For now, these are available in the US, Australia, India, Germany, France, Canada, and the UK. We will have a link in the newsletter and Discord about how you can sign up for the beta if it's not already open to you. A quote from this article, it says, doctor and clinic ads are intent triggered based on search for conditions, symptoms, specialists, and many more. These rich placements provide real-time info to consumers and inspire action, all with no keywords required, of course. They're dynamically generated based on the data you specify in your feed file, such as specialties, locations, and service type, in person or video. Other things to note here, this is a CPC-based auction, and it's separate from text ads. So you could have this running in your account, and you could have a spot in the text ads on the SERP, and that also be on the right-hand rail. So I think that's kind of a cool opportunity for people. I like when Microsoft has innovative ideas. Is that good for the sponsor?
Yes.
Okay, next up from Melissa L. Mackey at Beyond the Paid on Twitter. She tweeted this week, hey, yo, so this is cool. If it sticks around, Google Ads finally brought back the arrows to navigate through campaigns. I've missed this for years since it went away. So they're testing a lot of things over there in the UI, but if you missed this little arrow, you can scroll away like Melissa. Oh, and while we're here in the advertising section, maybe just a little shout out that here on Marketing O'Clock, we're not getting any calls from Microsoft anytime soon. So we have some spots open for advertisers in Q2 and beyond in 2023. So call us. From Marketing Dive, this article is called Digital Growth Plateaus Amid Continued Ad Spending Declines. National ad spend dropped 6% year over year in January, extending a months-long decline. And the article also pointed out that traditional ad spending is also decreased during the month, while investments in digital channels were relatively flat. So things, I guess, were down, 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 and then they plateaued a bit. I don't know if that's good or bad. Better than down, I guess. Moving on. Another story for Marketing Dive. Sam's Club is putting retargeting on the map, aka Sam's Club member access platform.
Did you make that up or they did?
Who knew they had digital? They call it map, but I didn't say putting it on. I said putting it on the map.
Cease and desist.
Yeah. Who knew? It's like CBS having an ad platform. Quote, it says, Sam's Club has made real-time retargeted display advertising available across tens of thousands of sites on the open web through its retail media offering.
Do you know what the best part of this is?
That I can't talk and I'm done with the paid lightning round?
No, that with the Sam's Club member access platform, you can buy ads in bulk.
Wow.
Took me a second. Do you have more jokes for us in organic?
No. All right. But in organic, we have some big news. There is a new broad core update, and it is called the Google Banana Boat Carousel
what?
Update. Oh, no, I read that wrong. It's the March 2023 Broadcore update.
I didn't even get the joke. Should I?
It's just a name other than...
Every time they just call it that. Like any other Broadcore update, you will have to see how it goes. There's not targeting a specific... this isn't like a link spam update or anything like that. So there are no charts or anything yet. Just announced when we're recording here on Wednesday. Hopefully we'll have some fantastic charts from Barry next week. All right. Next up, Spotify is revamping its podcaster tools, including Anchor, and is partnering with Patreon. So we heard last week, I think it was, or maybe 2 weeks ago, about that revamp of like the TikTok videos and things like that, where Spotify's trying to add more. And now there is, they're kind of bolstering their offerings. Anchor has been great. They purchased that a while back. We use Anchor here. It's now called Tables. What is this? Spotify for Podcasters, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen anything? I think that episode analytics are a lot better. If you look at it, you can see like if what episode, like where it is on the ratings of all your episodes from a ranking standpoint. You can see time watched. It pulls in the actual Spotify data, but only Spotify. So it is pretty nice upgrade.
Yeah, it's just a lot easier to see all your analytics.
Again, you can add in videos, Q&As, polls, and the analytics is upgraded there. All right, from Glenn Gabe, famously known from our paid portion of the show. Glenn says, in the at marketing...
In the main news.
Oh, in the main news. He's everywhere.
He's Glenn. Everywhere.
Says, in the at marketing o'clock podcast. Hey, I know them. Where I spoke about the latest algorithm updates, I made a prediction that the disavow tool could go away and soonish, even this year. Listen to John and Gary. Don't use it unless you have a manual action or set up unnatural links and could get one. And he talks about an article from Barry Schwartz where Google is doubling down on not using the link disavow tool. And again, I've seen people disavow their own site. Literally.
What?
Yes. I won't say the name of it. Bad. Somebody says about Google.
What was their goal?
They didn't
it sounds
know what
like
doing.
A mistake. Yeah.
No. So yes, I'm with Glenn and I'm with Barry and I'm with Google on that. All right. YouTube is bringing a new element to its YouTube TV experience, where TV subscribers will soon be able to access multi-view, enabling them to watch four streams concurrently on screen.
Thank goodness. What?
You say that. I'm going to make it all make sense. And Tables, you're going to get me on this. So this is only for, it's actually not YouTube, it's YouTube TV. It's their TV offering. And you're going to be able, they're launching it in time for the tournaments. So if you want to show multiple games, you only have one TV and you have YouTube TV, you'll be able to try to show multiple games on screen.
It's one use case.
Just wait.
Or Miss Rachel and the game.
Oh. And so they launched this article.
Two use cases.
And they embedded a little short in the article itself, a 55-second short where they pretended to do multi-view on the short. I do not think multi-view is coming to shorts. It doesn't really work on the short, but that's what they did with it. And they're trying to show the TV and how to use it.
No.
And they have the TV so small. Because it's on a short.
This is vertical?
This is
a vertical. The screenshot is so vertical.
There's two screenshots. So the TV? Look at the screenshot below it. The screenshot below it is how they're trying to show how to get into the little spots.
I couldn't see
and
that.
And because they did it via a short, you can't see how it actually works. But apparently everything has to be a short in the announcements there. And I look at it and it just made me warm and fuzzy thinking about the infamous... Five innovations in 2022. Famous video, the 61-second short by Neil Mohan of last year, of which, Tables, we have a documentary coming out. What is it, a 6-minute documentary and a 61-second short?
Yeah, it's actually about 7.5 minutes.
Yeah, so we did 7.5 minutes. Yeah,
more than
this.
10x that.
Is it coming Wednesday?
It's coming Wednesday. We just had the premiere here at the office and everybody loved it.
Arguably, the dumbest video about the dumbest video ever. So subscribe today on YouTube so you don't miss the first ever Marketing Clock documentary.
You'll see Tables at the 2024 Oscars documentary short category.
Yes.
Oh.
And you might be in there for best actress.
Oh, for what? She wasn't acting on the show. I wasn't acting. I was just sick. That was my real voice.
Okay. So why is this a game changer for the TV version of YouTube TV? If you think about it, does anybody know what they just purchased? This year. NFL package. Multi-view with NFL package. Test drive it during college basketball. This makes total sense. So look for that soon. Okay, from OpenAI, we've got now GPT-4, the latest milestone in OpenAI's effort to scale up the deep learning. There's a lot, it's a lot more powerful. I forget the exact numbers, but you can use a lot more characters and things like that. It is the Bing chat has been upgraded to OpenAI GPT-4, and Barry Schwartz wanted to like do a little sleuthing, see if it actually is being used. So he asked the chat, he's like, hey, chat, are you using GPT-4? And chat's like, yep, I use GPT-4. So confirmation there. Thanks, Barry. All right. Speaking of AI, the next generation of AI for developers in the Google Workspace is here. If you have a Google Workspace account, which we do, there will be the ability for Google to use AI to fill things in for you. The example they gave is quite frightening, to be honest with you. Somebody says into the AI prompt, give me a job description for a regional sales representative, to which it makes a job description for a regional sales representative. I can't imagine where that's going to go wrong. Imagine that, like somebody signs this deal, like this offer letter, and everything is wrong. Like that might not be the one I do. It's like job functionality.
Right. But
again, if you're using AI to write things for you, you're using it wrong. If you're using AI to help you or guide you, you're probably using it right. All right. Another thing I loved about this was it spits off these giant emails in the AI examples. And Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan Retail says, I have to admit it. I'm really agitated by the workflows and behaviors in the AI Google Workspace teaser video. The high-performing teams will be the ones where it's culturally permitted to just say, I'm on it, instead of using AI to write some generic, flowery bullshit. And the AI spits this thing out. It's like, hi, team. We have a lot of great ideas to work with, and I'm excited to see what we can do with them. I'm going to put together a brief based on the ideas we've received, blah, blah, blah. And the option that you can do if you don't want the AI is just to respond, I'm on it. I'm on it, guy.
Yes.
Let me cook. Let me not edit my AI. Okay. From splittesting.com, Dylan Adler, native GA4 integration is coming. Oh, it's here on Shopify. So Dylan got an email that says Google Analytics 4 is now available through the Google Channel app on Shopify. Did I say Spotify?
I don't think you did.
Wow.
Maybe you did.
Pat
you
on didn't. My own back there.
Correct.
Okay. From Tom Anthony, SEO on Twitter. He wrote up an article about when he hacked into the Google manual penalties database. Kind of interesting if you're a search nerd. Basically, there were some calls where you could see your manual action. It would include the site name. He was able to swap out the domain to any other domain and catch anybody else's manual penalties. And he got $5,000 from the bug bounty awards there. And it was also funny. He said, like, at the time, they said it was like a glitch or something like that. They didn't say it was like broken. And he was the one that stopped it and fixed it. So pretty cool. All right. Google Analytics has new custom channel groups. They will allow you to make rule-based classifications based off of traffic sources to come up with your channels. Pretty nice. They're adding more and more to GA4. In my opinion, it's just not fast enough. Here's another AI article where Andy Search, A-N-D-I, is adding a generated content feature. It is a big claim from a small search engine, says Danny Goodwin over on Search Engine Land, and says, so is Andy more truly accurate than the new Bing, which is now powered by GPT-4? With all things generative AI, the output isn't perfect. Andy's new feature seems to shine in a few scenarios, but fails in another. And according to Andy Search, they say, Andy Search is Ask Jeeves' cooler, younger sibling, according to co-founder and CEO Angela Hoover. The grand vision is to eventually create Jarvis from Iron Man. In other news,
I don't know him.
There's an Andy Search.
Jeeves and Andy.
All right. Microsoft may replace Bing Search answers with Bing Chat responses. There are some staggering numbers where Bing Chat has passed 100 million active daily users, and it seems like they are off to the races with Bing Search, Bing Chat, and ChatGPT, now powered by ChatGPT-4. That's it. And organic. What's happening in social, bud?
All right. Well, first up, Twitter is working on a new option to show you why you are seeing each tweet in your feed. People have been getting frustrated with the content they're being served in the For You feed. According to Social Media Today, though, these tweets are not random. They are actually linked back to your activity in some way, including all the tweets from Elon Musk that you are seeing. So to help users better understand their connection to the suggestions, The Bird is building a feature that offers more explanation about why you're seeing a particular tweet, including mutual follows and their activity, related interests based on your app actions, etc. It's not even officially in testing yet, but Twitter designer Andrea Conway shared a mock-up of the design. It's pretty real. It's coming. It's just not very far along. I think people will be happy about that. This one I'm just going to read straight from Wired. Twitter's $42,000 a month API prices out nearly everyone. Tiers will start at $500,000 a year for access to 0.3% of the company's tweets. Researchers say that's too much for too little data. I have to agree, and this is the lowest of the three tiers, by the way. If you want to pay more, you can. It's a lot of money.
Seriously, who would do that?
Well, no, I don't know if anyone is.
There's a small package, though, right?
That is the small package.
It's $42,000 a month.
Right. So 500 a year, I think, is the math. I didn't check the math.
I thought you said a month. I'm sorry.
Maybe I did, but it's $42,000 a month. $500,000 a year is the small package.
And if you want to get 200 million tweets, it is $210,000 per month.
Who has that? Who has that?
That's incredible.
Moving on. The TikTok potential ban drama is in full swing again. And according to Bloomberg, the app's leadership is discussing the possibility of separating from ByteDance, its Chinese parent company, to help address concerns about national security risks. From the sounds of it, they're just exploring the option. It's not the first time they've talked about it, but they're talking about it again. So we'll see. We'll keep you posted. Present company excluded. Have you ever wanted to start a podcast? Well, don't. But if you want to follow your dreams, and you should, but you need a little help and you're going to talk business, LinkedIn is launching what they are calling the LinkedIn Podcast Academy, which is a 6-month incubator pilot that will connect emerging business podcasts with exclusive programming, coaching, tools, and LinkedIn co-branding to expand and better reach their audience.
Why?
Oh, wait. I just got a text. We got pulled from that, too.
They're affiliated with Microsoft. They weren't coming. So I feel like this is a one hand washes the other. They're kind of trying to push and increase listenership on the LinkedIn podcast network. Maybe this will help them build some momentum there. Maybe there's some advertising opportunities down the line. Who knows? But I think it's nice that they're trying to foster people's creativity and help them out. Another new item from LinkedIn: AI-powered writing suggestions, which will initially be offered to people to spruce up their profiles and for recruiters writing job descriptions. So yet another use case for that. LinkedIn says, our tool identifies the most important skills and experiences to highlight in your about and headline sections and craft suggestions to make your profile stand out. Sounds, again, a good starter.
Can you imagine this AI being like, I gotta guess the benefits package on this one.
I think you will receive benefits. You will receive benefits with this job and a salary.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm going to make up a salary. Here we go.
I don't even know if they'd make it up. I feel like it would just say that there is one. Maybe make enough to access the Twitter API. I don't know. For now, at least it's only going to be available to premium users, but that may change down the line. All right. News that's not really news, but somewhat thought-provoking. You can read it if you are a social media marketer. It's from Social Media Today. More social media discussion is moving to messaging. So it's important to note that it's a behavioral shift. People don't share so much in the feed anymore. They're kind of afraid of what people might say if they really have something to share. So they're more often providing updates to their nearest and dearest in their DMs. So this means a couple of things. The feed could be less cluttered with posts from people you know, which could be good for discovery because there's more opportunity there unless people just start ignoring the feeds. That's something to think about. And there's also been a shift, people sharing public content with their friends via direct messaging. So there's not a lot of like reshare options anymore. So people are just sending things to their friends.
Oh yeah, we always DM each other.
We do, right? All of us at this table. I feel like that's all we do.
Yeah, well, it's because also these platforms are completely ruining their offerings. Like I log into Facebook and I get 50 articles from the Spun about some fake sports trade. I'm just exit out. I see another one. I just shut the stupid app off and I just message somebody.
Yeah.
And then it's like Facebook, you used to talk on there. Now they just try to get reels and lives and stories. And yeah, it's got to go somewhere else because there's no place for it anymore.
Yeah. So advertising or organic wise, it just brands need to kind of rethink maybe or start to think about testing new opportunities with chat. If you use social as a marketing tool, just read the article and see if there's any nuggets in there.
And one counterpoint, I'd say that Twitter, especially with keyword targeting now, and LinkedIn, there's still a good variety of that, I'd say, where there is that kind of like open communication.
Speaking of open communication, DMs are the future, as we just discussed. This is from TechCrunch. Ghost debuts an anonymous group messaging app with ChatGPT baked in. And the article says, a new startup called Ghost believes that putting in extra guardrails around the anonymous experience will allow users to have fun without the usual downsides. To test this theory, the company has now launched its Ghost messaging app that allows users to share an anonymous message in a group chat with friends in order to flirt, joke, or ask questions without revealing their identity. So first of all, you're going to flirt with your friends, but you're going to do it anonymously, and you're going to use AI. I tried to flirt with AI today in the name of research. Oh. My prompt to ChatGPT was flirt with me. Very simple request. Could have said anything. The response I received broke my heart. I'm sorry, but as an AI language model, I am not capable of flirting. My main purpose is to assist and provide information to the best of my abilities. Is there something specific you would like to know or discuss? And I had to watch this thing chat, like type this out, breaking this reply to me. Broke my heart. In fifth grade, my crush called me the Jolly Green Giant, and I have not felt so rejected since then until today.
That is so lame of ChatGPT.
This is the thing they're going to use for this ghost messaging platform, so I'm really excited for everyone to get real romantic.
Love is dead.
Love is dead.
This sounds like a hellscape. If you were to think about it, you have anonymous messaging that now uses AI. You're just going to be anonymous and be like, go AI, talk to somebody else who I don't know who it is. Talk to their AI and see what their AI says back to another AI. What the hell are we doing? Like, what is going on with this?
I don't know. If you want to flirt with your friends, flirt with your friends. Don't ask this thing to do it. It even changed the title tag to cannot flirt, comma, sorry, period. I'm married. I don't need this.
Rejected.
I was very sad. In other news, there's a social platform called Ghost. All right. I'm going to call this section I never met a news story I didn't like. And it's rapid fire Meta news. Meta. Yes, I did. Just to get it all in. Meta pauses Reels bonus program as it develops a new ad revenue share system. This pause will impact U.S.-based creators on both Instagram and Facebook. Any ongoing Reels bonuses that a creator has signed up for will be honored for the next 30 days. So if that's you, you got about a month. And I'm not sure what they're replacing it with yet. There's not a lot of details, but I will tell you what they are not adding, and it's jobs. Because the company also announced this week that another 10,000 roles will be eliminated in the coming months because they are trying to improve organizational efficiency. Side note. Surprise, surprise. Mark Zuckerberg says engineers who joined Meta in person perform better than those who joined remotely. So let's create a metaverse.
Yeah, seriously.
But don't worry, they're also winding down on their NFT projects, probably because they ain't got nobody to work on them. And also, that's stupid.
I can't believe.
I got a knack for the news. Sorry.
Thank you.
I can't believe NFTs are going like they're not investing in them. Who would have seen that coming?
I mean, NFTs, no fucking time. We don't need to do it. It doesn't matter. You know what does matter, though? This last story. Alessandro Paluzzi spotted a new Instagram sticker that is being tested, and it is called Your Top Three. So I say, once more, for the people, move over MySpace. And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
I want to give a shout out to the HubSpot Google Ads integration. I always am just astounded how easy it is for just a lowly marketer like me to set it up and import conversions or audiences into Google Ads. You really don't have to have like a ton of tech savvy. Anyone can do it. The reporting's a little hard because you can't like edit the attribution at all. So it's kind of last touch and you're missing a lot there. So you have to build out custom reports, but it's really, really easy to set it up. And that information is so valuable in Google Ads. So anyone who's not doing that now should be. Jess?
For me, the Google Calendar appointment slots feature, did not know that was there. I don't think it's new, but you can block off time and then let people book specific increments. You can set it to 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever you want, and let people add things to your calendar, but also just block off the time so nobody adds things that aren't associated with your appointment slots. Very nice. Very handy. Greg?
For me, the Google Drive Suite and Google Docs upgraded, I'd say, just their UI. And one of the things that they did is on the sharing options at the at the top right, that button where you can give other folks access, it shows locked if nobody has it. I am notorious for not sharing our prep notes for this show. Yesterday when I was doing it, I'm like, oh, this is nice. I'm going to share it. And when you share it, it turns into like a little building so you can see that other people have access to this document. So I shared it. I was feeling good. And I realized last night I shared it without giving edit access. So again, it's nice
steps.
Just to see that lock up there and be like, oh, this is only for me. And if other people have it, you get a different icon. I really enjoy that.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's Cool Tool helps you visualize, and it's really nice.
Oh my God.
You're welcome. It is the SERP Snippet Preview Tool from Sam Underwood at Sam Underwood UK on Twitter. It's aptly named. I don't even think I need to describe it to you, but it's really slick. You just type in your URL, your title tag, meta description, brand name, all that jazz, and you can generate a preview of what your SERP would look like on both mobile and desktop, which is really cool in and of itself, but then you can create a preview link that you can share if you need to send something to somebody for approval or just want to show off your stuff, you can do that. So it's a handy tool for your tool belt, and as always, we'll have the link in our newsletter as well as on Discord, so pick your poison and check it out.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week, an article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from Andrew Holland over on Search Engine Land. And Andrew has an article called 17 Tips to Improve Your AI-Assisted Content Creation Process. Note, he didn't say AI-generated process, your assisted process. And he goes through and talks about it's very well done. He does a little bit too much AI for what we would ever do here, but talks about how to use prompts, how to get drafts, how to make a outline. There's a very methodical approach that he takes. And if you are looking for help and you're trying to get started using AI, Andrew does a great job thinking through and giving you some tools to help. Thank you, Andrew. And if you want this and all the news from the week, head on over to marketingaclock.com/newsletter or community.marketingaclock.com to get right to our Discord channel.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingaclock.com to listen to Marketing a Playlist. Greg, what will you be adding to the playlist? Is it still for me?
It's your month. Okay. These are songs you would like. In this week, what do we call it when we think we're putting it out there that everybody here is going to like the song?
A crowd pleaser?
Yeah, we need something like a cycle in baseball.
A home run?
Where you get first base, second base, third base, a triple, double, single, and a home run. We need I'm going to call this a cycle.
A slam dunk.
All four of us are going to like it.
Oh, yeah?
This song, yes. Tables, Shep, Jess. It's Dreamer by Foxy Shazam.
I really like the name of the artist.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
I'm going to do one for you this week, Greg. You recommended I watch Babylon, and I don't think I ever will, but I did listen to some of the soundtrack for my Oscar ballot. So I will be adding Manny and Nelly's theme.
Okay. I'm still waiting for the review you do live here on the show.
I don't think I should watch it.
I think you'd enjoy it.
It looks good.
Jess, what are you picking?
Mine isn't for either of you. It's for me. It always is. There is a light that never goes out by the Smiths.
All right. That does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
And we can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingaclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingaclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
We're playing a game today and I'm keeping score. So good luck to everyone involved.
And this is our final installment of what has been a smash hit, our St. Patrick Day Shooting Hacks. And we've got another trivia game here for everybody. So ring in using your name and at home, play along. See if you can beat the gang here. First up, this person has two RII certified multi-platinum albums, five platinum albums, three gold albums, including songs We Belong, Invincible, Love is a Battlefield.
Pat Benatar.
That's not your name.
That's not your name.
Jess.
Jess.
Pat Benatar.
Jess has won. Jess kidding? Is on the board, off to an early lead. Great job, Jess. Good pull.
Jeff is so mad at me. Did you see that look?
Okay.
Oh, I'm keeping score. This is a lot of power. We might forget about that.
A former weatherman, this person's hair hasn't changed since the entire time I've been alive as a game show host on a nightly.
Shep. Pat Sajak?
Correct.
I don't know.
And Shep is on the board. All right. This person played 8 seasons for the Indianapolis Colts, also played at West Virginia, was a punter, is now a professional.
Tables.
Pat McAfee. Just announced where Aaron Rodgers is going this week. Okay. The front man for a popular 90s song, this lead singer, best known for Drops of Jupiter, Tears of Jupiter.
Oh, shoot. What is his name? Jess.
Jess.
Pat Moynihan?
Yes. Jess is on the board. The lead singer of Train, Pat Moynihan.
Been on the board. I have 2 points.
The little guy, his name's Pat. The guy who makes the wine?
The train guy. Drops of Jupiter.
That ruins everybody's eardrums with his singing.
I like the Taylor Swift cover. It's fine. It's a fine song. There's worse songs.
Okay. Most famously known for his role on the X-Men movies, this actor also appears on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Patrick Stewart.
Yes, correct. Okay.
Remember when I watched that movie with him in it accidentally?
Yes. Was it the wrong coda or something?
I thought I was watching Best Picture nominee, but it was a different coda.
This Georgetown star is arguably the most famous New York Knick ever, listed at 7'0".
Oh, Jess! Jess. Patrick Ewing.
Correct.
Wow.
He was in Space Jam.
Most famously known for his role in Step by Step alongside Suzanne Summers, this actor that is a star of the TV show Dallas is a staple in modern TV history.
I've got nothing.
I can hear that from Jeopardy when nobody. I know. I can see his face.
What's a quick score here?
Okay. Jess is in the lead with 3 points. I have 2, and I think Tables stopped paying attention.
Okay, Tables.
He has a point, though.
Tables, pay attention on this one here.
I'm trying.
No, this is not the person that drives the car very fast. This former SportsCenter co-host used the catchphrase, along with Keith Olbermann, "Welcome to the Big Show," when he anchored SportsCenter and now has a syndicated broadcast show on Premier Radio Networks called The Show.
can I ask what channel it's on?
It's from Jock Jams.
It is a radio series, I believe it is also syndicated on TV. He had an ABC sitcom called Sports Night that was molded after him in his career.
His first name is Patrick.
Why are you trying to help Tables so
Patrick.
Bad? He's in last
Dan
place.
Patrick. Dan what? Patrick, correct. All right. Next up, this person is a Penthouse Pet of the Month for February 2000 and is a former pornographic actress and model. Born Linda Ann Hopkins.
We don't know.
I feel like we should.
Does Penthouse still exist?
Tara Patrick. No?
No.
All right. And lastly, no longer with us, passed in 2009, American actor, dancer, and singer named the sexiest man alive in 1998.
Oh, Jeff!
Jess got it.
Patrick Swayze.
And okay. That is it.
Jess won far and away. She had 5 points.
All right.
I think tables fell asleep. Okay, well, I think we're all going to be really glad to have St. Patrick's Day behind us, and we'll see you next week.